unconventional instrumentation, clever lyrics, and an obscure 1970s George C. Scott film. These are the ingredients of an unusual pop music phenomenon.
They Might Be Giants will be performing this weekend at the Egg in Albany, and one half of the musical power duo joins us over the phone today.
John Flansburgh writes, sings, performs rhythm guitar, and handles Tuesday radio interview duties for the band. He joins us to discuss the upcoming program. John, how are you doing today?
Joe Donahue, Sarah LeDuc, I'm doing fine.
It's great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back on the show.
So now, tell us about the Egg, because the last time I saw you at the Egg, you did a great song about the Egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that that's something you do fairly regularly, sing about a venue, but what's...
No, not really. Actually, we pretty much saved that parlor trick for the temples of brutalist, modernist architecture.
So how could you not sing about the Egg?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
And I assume you'll be reprising that song?
Yeah, we're going to have to learn it. We're going to have to learn it all over again, you know. As John Linnell's stepmom says, it's not what you learned, it's how many times you've learned it.
So now you're going to be at the Egg on Saturday for a kid's show at 3.
Yes, we're doing a special, like, family show that we should warn all teenagers and adults without children that they should not come to that show.
Okay. They will not like it.
Yeah, because it would just feel like they were suddenly trapped in a playgroup. But then we're doing a full throttle, like, long-term hearing loss rock show that night, which we're also very excited about.
So what is that like for you in the sense of, you know, doing this in the afternoon? And, I mean, at any point, do you feel like one of those adults who is trapped, you know,
it gives us a chance to use the word bifurcated. but, you know, really, I think, you know, we don't have the urge to become like a child stars. I think we've actually, you know, it's a strange, I mean.
You don't want to be Rafi.
To be perfectly honest, you know, it's the children's thing is very strange because, you know, as a writing opportunity, writing for kids is probably one of the most pleasant, you know, it's a completely open-ended assignment. It's really interesting. Kids are free of cultural references. So it's like, it's just like a open invitation to do what you want as a writer or a songwriter. But the actual, like, business of performing for kids, the only thing that you really come to realize is that, you know, public school teachers are vastly underpaid. that's pretty much all you walk away from that experience having.
But you guys have puppets, right?
We do have puppets, although I'm not sure that we do this weekly podcast in which John and I are represented as puppets, and the puppets themselves have kind of become, you know, internet media stars. We haven't really incorporated them into our show as fully as it seems people would like. But that was kind of a way to shield ourselves from actually having to become, you know, take on the Captain Kangaroo challenge.
So how did you start performing for children in the first place?
We actually did a recording project like probably a couple of years before we ever even did a kids show. Our whole kids career is kind of a strange you know, we did this album called No,
right,
that really took off in the world of, you know, among parents and children, and just the word of mouth around the album just kind of made it its own event. And, you know, when we were making the album, we really thought no more of it than you might think of making a Christmas album. It just seemed like, oh, well, this will be like a fun diversion, a kind of a one-off. And, and, you know, we did it very much in the spirit of the band, and the only calculation that we did about it was that we didn't want to take advice from anybody who said they knew how to do it. You know, we didn't write songs about dinosaurs or, you know, all the things. You know, it's very much like when you embark on doing a kid's thing, you get that kind of, you know, the speech in The Graduate where the guy says plastics. All of a sudden, like, all the parents of the world, like, come out and start giving you very, very sage advice as to, like, what the key to speaking to kids is. But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we figured out kind of on our own, you know, on our own that, you know, kids are quite different from each other. And we were kids too, and have many strong ideas about what worked for us and what didn't as kids, and so we just kind of really kept it to our own personal aesthetic.
Now it just seems to me,
it paid off big time.
You know, and that's the key, isn't it, John? There you go.
Yeah.
So here's the deal.
Joke on that, Rappy.
But you have, I mean, you have the advantage of that. I don't. Sarah and I don't have kids, but
Have kids.
But I have.
You don't have kids,
here
really?
We are three people talking about kids music in a public forum, and none of us have kids. They should take us off the air right now.
But I have. Here Come the ABCs on my iPod.
Well, there you go. So do I.
Now, does the other John, does he have children?
He does, but, you know, we actually started doing this before we really had many kids in our lives. I mean, these days, you know, I have a nephew and a niece who are around all the time, and you know, I mean, you know, it's a world that we're aware of, for sure. I mean, but, you know, I think we're actually coming at it from much more of a Dr. Seuss kind of point of view, which is, like, we're writing, you know, for ourselves and in the abstract. I'm not really sure. You know, there's a lot of kind of what I would call parent rock out there that is, like, these very prosaic songs about, like, showing kids how to tie their shoes and stuff like
right.
that. And to me, that just seems like the worst way to introduce a kid to music. I mean, music is, you know, is the realm of the impossible and of the imagination and experimentation, and, you know, that's what it's good for. You know, that's all that music's good for. Music is not, like, a vehicle, that great a vehicle for learning. And, I mean, if people are looking to, you know, musicians to teach their kids anything, you know, it might be a mistake. I mean, that's, you know, that said, you know, we do these things that have the sort of the veneer of you know, vitamin enriched information, but I'm not really sure that that's what's of interest there, really.
So let me, it would seem to me, I mean, you seem somewhat surprised by the success, but it would seem to me, and where I was going before, of if I were a parent and I were to go out and buy my child a CD that I was going to put in the car that I would have to listen to over and over and over again, and I saw this barrage of artists,
right.
And I had the choice of getting, you know...
You don't need to name somebody you
yes,
don't like.
Yes, okay, I won't.
Someone you don't
or,
want.
Or they might be giants. I mean, from my youth and having listened to your music, you know, all through my college life, I would obviously pick up your CD, and I assume that that's the scenario that brings many people into the store, doesn't it?
To some extent, although we've kind of found that it's created its own audience, that a lot of people in that audience are actually wildly unaware of our rock career. So
how could that be?
Well, exactly. It's a little bit galling to us, but they always seem a little bit surprised when they, you know, drag their 3-year-old to a 11 o'clock show at some, you know, some bar somewhere that we're not going to be, like, doing kids songs. You know, kids are different from each other, and some parents really want the music to be completely chilled out. I think probably. The you know the reason that our stuff works is it probably functions much more like the popular music that little kids like, although it's safe in that it doesn't have the blizzard of swear words that are usually accompanied with a lot of popular music these days. But you know, it's really hard to say what's at the core of it. You know, as it goes on too, it gets more complicated because our stuff is on PBS Kids and the Disney Channel, and it's getting a lot of other kind of, you know, cultural booster rockets. So I'm not sure, you know, the success is surprising, but it sort of continues to surprise us. So
So that is the first show that you're going to be doing at 3 o'clock. And then
the Swearabration.
The Swearabration happens at 8 o'clock. And is that a more comfortable show for you because you've been doing it longer? And, you know, it's sort of
We're comfortable. You know, we've done thousands of shows.
Right.
We're relatively comfortable in any environment. I mean, we've grown remarkably comfortable having, you know, playing festivals where people are throwing things at us. We've learned to catch. The adult show, I think, allows us to do everything that we want to do artistically, you know, except perhaps maybe two ballads in a row, which is still verboten. We like playing for adults, and we like, you know, we just, you know, we're a complicated band, we're complicated guys, and we like doing our art rock.
Let me ask about the relationship between the two of you, because I asked this question because recently I was talking to the Smothers Brothers.
Wow. I want to know about what it was like talking to the Smothers
Brothers. Now, well, they're actually brothers, of course, but they had, of working together for so long, actually had
Wait,
to go...
Wait, were they really brothers? I thought
yeah,
they weren't.
No, they were really brothers.
Oh.
And they actually had to go to couples counseling to sort of because as they became more and more popular of putting up with each other, and I heard a similar story about Penn and Teller. And so two people who are so identified that have been working with each other for so long...
Can you imagine how unfair the relationship with Penn and Teller already is at the beginning?
Because one can't even talk, right, yes. And by the way, if you get him out of it, he's a chatty little devil.
Interesting. But does he speak in public forms?
Well, yeah. You can get him off on different... topics if he's not on stage and you're not paying for it.
Right, okay.
So,
if you needle him the right way.
Yes, if you needle him the right way. I'm talking about different things. So what is, the two of you, the two Johns, as it were, no Elliot Spitzer joke necessary. What do you, you know, how the two of you maintain that relationship?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know about Penn and Teller's relationship before their career began, but you know, John and I enjoyed a very real friendship before we embarked on this project, and we experienced a lot of important stuff together. You know, we saw a lot of great rock shows in the 70s and a lot of really terrible rock shows in the 70s, and I think that was really instrumental in forming the notions of how we should run this band as just a project, because having endured, drum solos and bass solos and keyboard intros and just, you know, all the things, all the excesses of the 70s that just made rock music seem like it was in a coma, when we started this band, it was very easy to agree on how graphic and immediate we wanted the impact of the music to be, and that kind of common ground is hard to invent unless it's, you know, just already in your history, you know.
Right.
Lots of bands form out of, you know, newspaper ads or just out of convenience. We really had, you know, years and years of experience together and, like, you know, private experience, you know, going to school together and, having huge family things happen, while we were friends. And, you know, so we knew each other very, very well. And yet we weren't brothers. I think, you know, the other tradition in rock music or popular music or among entertainers is that you have brother acts.
Right.
And that has all all that same intensity of shared experience, but you're locked into all the sibling rivalry and all that stuff. It's actually, you know, can be very hard to get around. So I think we kind of enjoy the best of both worlds. We have like the intimacy of all this shared experience, but we aren't actually like kin.
So, you do the, watch The Daily Show, and of course you do the theme song to that.
Yeah, we do all the incidental music on The Daily Show, all the orchestral stuff we put together for them. We've done many, many packages for them.
All right, now here's our deal. We
the term package because it's like a show business term.
Yeah, it's good, and it sounds good.
It's like we're very impressed.
I'm a professional.
Yeah. So we have our theme, and you know, we've had our theme for like 7 years, and it's a great theme. We love it, but you know, we were thinking of maybe of sprucing it up a little bit. So what would it run us to get you guys to do our theme for us?
Wow, that might actually have to be some kind of gratis. I don't know if we could.
Sorry.
You know, I mean, you know, pledge time only comes once a year for the Mighty Giants.
We'll talk because you know we were all having.
That'd be exciting, you know.
We had a meeting to discuss who we wanted to do our theme song, and everyone in that room had a piece of paper, not revealed to the other. And when we turned it over, it was They Might Be Giants,
including Julia Taylor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is very exciting to me. Well, you know, I'm in the Catskills right now, and we can, you know, in spite of Alan Chartok's best efforts, we can just barely get your signal. But there are many times when I'm you know readjusting the antenna to get in the programming. So it would be very exciting to do something like that.
You can stream us from your computer.
Yeah. Right. If only my computer worked that fast.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we'll be in touch because there's nothing more that we would love, and there's also nothing more than we would love to send people to your show, your pair of shows. Actually, bring the kids for the first one, and then get a babysitter, and then go to the other one and enjoy that one too.
Absolutely.
Go to both. Then maybe Giants will be at the Egg in Albany on Saturday for a kids show at 3:00, and a over 14 performance at 8:00. For more information, you can call 518-473-1845. To learn more about the band, you can visit them at tmbg.com. They Might Be Giants is the group that will soon be doing our theme song in this show. John Landsberg, you're great. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey,